بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين سيدنا محمد وآله وصحبه وسلم. Beloved brothers and sisters in Islam, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. We ask Allah Ta'ala to teach us what will benefit us and benefit us by what He has taught us, inshaAllah Ta'ala, and give us the blessings and benefit of our time in this halakha today, which is on the foundations of da'wah, the foundations of giving da'wah or calling to the way of Allah. And inshaAllah tonight we'll be going over some lessons, some advice that was given to us by the great imam and scholar who passed away, the late scholar Sheikh Ibn Baz rahimahullah. The Sheikh, he begins, or he mentions that there's nothing more virtuous in speech than the one who calls to the way of Allah. Allah, he says in the Quran, مَنْ أَحْسَنُ قَوْلًا مِنْ مَنْ دَعَى إِلَى اللَّهِ وَعَمِلَ صَالِحًا. Who is better in speech? Who has better speech than the one who calls to the way of Allah? Meaning there's no one whose speech is better than the one who is calling to the way of Allah. وَعَمِلَ صَالِحًا. And he does good deeds. He does good speech and he follows his speech with actions that prove his speech. He applies what he says in his own actions. وَقَالَ إِنَّنِي مِنَ الْمُسْلِمِينَ. And he says, I am from the Muslims. And anybody who thinks about the history of the sending of messengers, they realize that giving da'wah is the greatest job, because it was the job of the messengers. So when we give da'wah, what are we doing? We're taking on the job of the messengers to call the creation to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to call the creation to obedience to Allah ta'ala. So we're following in the footsteps of all the messengers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Listen to what Hassan al-Basri, the great tabi'i, the companion of the Sahaba, one of the most pious people who lived. He had fiqh and he had wara. He was a person of deep knowledge, Hassan al-Basri, fiqh, and he had so much scrupulousness in his deen, in his religion. Listen to what he said regarding the verse, who is better in speech than the one who calls to Allah and does good deeds? Hassan al-Basri, he says, this person is the beloved of Allah. He is the wali of Allah and the elite of Allah, and he is the most beloved to Allah from the people of the earth. Who is this? The one who calls to Allah, the one who gives da'wah. He answered the call of Allah and invites people to do the same. Not only did he answer the call of Allah, but then he invites people to do the same, to answer the call of Allah Ta'ala. He works righteous deeds within his response, and he says, I am from the Muslims. So when we give da'wah, our leaders, who are our role models? The messengers, the prophets. They are our role models. They are the messengers. We follow in their example. Do you know the reward for giving da'wah? Is it small or a lot of reward? The Prophet ﷺ said, "Addanu ala khair kafa'ilihi." The one who calls to goodness gets the same reward as the one who does it. The one who calls to goodness, he gets the same reward as the one who does it. Even though he didn't do the action, the one who does the action, the reward will return to the one who called him to it without decreasing either of them in reward. See, in another hadith, whoever establishes a good sunnah, he will have the reward of that, and everyone who follows it until the day of judgment. This is, can you imagine how much reward somebody who called to the way of Allah, everybody who follows that sunnah, he will get the reward for it until the day of judgment. So there's a great reward for calling to the way of Allah. And Allah Ta'ala, he mentions that the one who is upright and calls to the way of Allah, he will be the cause of his wife or if it's a woman, her husband, and their parents and children entering paradise. This is the reward of one who calls to the way of Allah. Allah says, Jannatu adnin yadkhulunaha. That is the paradise that will abide forever. They enter it. وَمَنْ صَلَحَ مِنْ آبَائِهِمْ. And their parents and their أَزْوَاجِهِمْ وَأَزْوَاجِهِمْ وَذُرِّيَاتِهِمْ. So the righteous will enter it, and the good parents with them and their good children. Okay. What happens when somebody whose parents, if they were not on right guidance, they have to call them to the way of Allah? Right? This is what we're learning about today. If the parents, they say somebody's parents don't pray, so then the child should be a da'i. He should call his parents. He should be an example by showing them how to pray, by reminding them, Dad, you know it's time to pray. Yeah, I see you're eating dinner, but Maghrib time is over. Yeah, so that person, they should be a child can be call his parents to obey Allah. A parent should call his children. The husband should call his wife to obey Allah. The wife should call her husband to obey Allah Ta'ala. Okay, so the ruling of da'wah, the ruling on the da'wah. Giving da'wah to the deen of Allah, the scholars say, is an obligation. Calling to the way of Allah is obligatory. Allah says, let there arise from you a nation calling to good, commanding good and forbidding evil. وَلْتَكُمْ مِنْكُمْ أُمَّةٌ يَدْعُونَ إِلَى الْخَيْرِ وَيَأْمُرُونَ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَيَنْهُونَ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ وَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُفْلِحُونَ. So Allah, He's saying, وَلْتَكُنْ, the lam here is Amr, commanding the ummah to come forward and call to the way of Allah. Allah says, أُدْعُوا, call, إِلَى سَبِيلِ رَبِّكَ بِالْحِكْمَةِ وَمَوْعِذَةٍ حَسَنًا. Call to the way of your Lord with wisdom and a beautiful speech. And a beautiful speech. So here the ulama, they say that calling to the way of Allah is an obligation. It's obligatory. And one must do this in accordance to the way of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Calling to Allah, they say it's a fard kifaya, which means if some people carry out this job, then it becomes a sunnah for the rest of the people. But what if nobody is doing it? What if not enough people are doing it? Then da'wah becomes obligatory on every person. And especially us living in the West, Muslims living as a minority, we are in a very vulnerable situation. We have many Muslims that are distanced away, drifted away from the community, and so they are influenced by the negative aspects of society. So da'wah becomes more important, more critical. For us living as a minority in the West, we have to make every effort to call our fellow Muslims and keep them on the faith, keep them on the Tawheed of Allah. The scholars, they say that it becomes a fard ayn when nobody is commanding good and forbidding evil, or not enough people are doing it. Every person becomes responsible for it. And this is very likely the case here in the West, when you see many Muslims are in a vulnerable situation and have left their deen. Especially in today's age, the ruling on da'wah in today's age, the scholars say that especially the ruling on da'wah is more obligatory on those whom Allah has given knowledge. The scholars, the rulers, they have more of an obligation to spread the message of Islam. And if we look at the Muslim ummah today, we have atheism, we have different philosophies, different innovations, different types of shirk spreading and permeating the Muslim society. So what does this tell us about the need for da'wah? Is it little or more? Much greater need. When we look at the condition of the Muslim ummah, we see how missionary work is spreading in many parts of the Muslim world. Christian missionary work, they go to places where there's poverty and they're spreading Christianity in those places. So where are the Muslims? Why aren't they fulfilling this need to go to those lands and spread the message of Islam? So this is an urgent need that Muslims should give da'wah individually and collectively. We should get together and collectively call to the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Unfortunately, most Muslims today are busy with the dunya. They're busy earning money, and they're not worried about calling to the deen of Allah. And this is why we see Christian missionaries are spreading a false belief all over the Muslim world. Whereas us, we have the deen of Haqq, but why aren't we spreading the message of Islam? In fact, people come to Islam in spite of us, not because of us, but in spite of us. They find out about Islam from a book, they read about it on the internet, and they come to the masjid. But have we made the effort to go and reach people with Islam. This is an obligation. When we look in the past, Islam spread all over Asia and most of Africa, in East Asia, Malaysia, Indonesia, India. It spread all over these places by merchants who were also calling people to Islam. They went there and they spread the message of Islam. They explained the beauty of Islam to the people, and it spread in those lands. The goal of Dawah. What is the goal of Dawah? The Shaykh, he says, the goal of Dawah should be to bring people out of the darkness into the light. To bring people out of darkness of shirk into the light of Tawheed. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Allahu waliyu alladhina amanu yukhrijuhum min al-dhulumati ila an-nur. Allah is the helper of those who believe. He brings them out of darkness into the light. Subhanallah. He brings people out of darkness to light. Our goal should be to save people from punishment in the hellfire. We should teach them and try to guide them to hold on to the truth so that they would be saved from being punished in the hellfire. The need for dawah is very urgent. One, people, they need to understand the meaning of La ilaha illallah. Most people in the world today, they don't know what La ilaha illallah means. Even many Muslims, they don't know the true meaning of La ilaha illallah. So they make partners with Allah. So this is something that we have to clarify to people. One is, what is the meaning of La ilaha illallah, which is aqidah, the tawheed of Allah. Number two is the fiqh rulings that are implied by La ilaha illallah. This also needs to be conveyed to the people. The whole world, especially the Muslim world, is in need of that. And the way we explain the La ilaha illallah to people is by explaining the meanings of the Quran and the Sunnah. This is the methodology that we use. By using the Quran and Sunnah, this is what the scholars say is the methodology that we use. We don't use new methodologies or innovations to try to call people to Allah. We don't call people to come to have tea and chat and become friends and ignore the Quran and the Sunnah. How many people, they get together and they do activities with non-Muslims, but they forget about calling them to the Quran and Sunnah, calling them to the Tawheed of Allah, calling them to fulfill their duty in this world, which is to become ubud, to be abd, to fulfill their ubudiyah to Allah Ta'ala. So any of these other methodologies, other than the Quran and Sunnah, they will not rectify the affairs of the Ummah. Here the Shaykh brings a point, which is, what happens when we give da'wah and people push us away, or people reject us, and people, they don't follow what we call them to? What should we do?
Try again.
Yes. Good. Have patience. Have patience. Don't give up. The Prophet ﷺ, he said in authentic hadith, Islam began as a stranger and it will return as a stranger. So good tidings to the strangers. In another narration, they asked, who are the strangers, Ya Rasulullah? He said, they are the ones who, when Islam, or when righteousness has become rare, they are the ones who establish Islam. They are the ones who are steadfast in righteousness at a time when people are corrupt. And in another narration, he said, those are the ones who correct what has been corrupted of my sunnah. Who are the strangers? When they see the sunnah has become corrupt, they correct it. Those are the ones who the Prophet ﷺ gave the glad tidings to. So when Islam becomes strange, we have to be more active. If we want to be of these people who are the strangers, we have to be more active in correcting people and calling them to the sunnah. Right? When people oppose us for establishing the sunnah, do we give up? Be more active. Make more effort, inshallah, to correct them by Allah's help.
No. What happens if they're tired and that they lost their health so you can't get in?
Okay, and save a question for the end. Is that okay? Inshallah, I'll answer all your questions in the end, inshallah ta'ala. That's okay with your brother? Is that all right? Inshallah. Okay. Spreading Islam. Was Islam spread by the sword? Here, this is what the scholars, they bring this very important point, that the sword was only used to remove the obstacles to the peaceful spread of Islam, to the corruptive influences, and to the those who spread mischief and who suppressed the spread of Islam. Then the sword was used in those cases. But other than that, when people don't obstruct the spread of Islam, then dawah was given and it was spread. But the Shaykh, he said, most of the time when dawah is given, people will oppose you by the sword and they will oppress the Muslims. So this was the only reason why the Muslims, they had to go out in armies. But if the people, they opened the doors and allowed the spread of Islam, they wouldn't have had to send the armies. But usually what happens is people, they have too much attachment to their leadership, to their dunya, so they obstruct the spread of Islam. So in any case, Islam was spread by all the prophets up to the time of Musa. They never used any type of force. And then from that time afterward, they only used force when people would not listen to the call of Islam or submit to the commandments of Allah Ta'ala. Inna deena indallahi al-Islam. This is the only religion accepted by Islam. We spoke a little bit about the methodology of how to give dawah. Right? We don't have to give dawah by our own ideas. But the methodology was laid down to us from the time of the Prophet ﷺ. Imam Malik and many other imams, they have a very, very famous statement that all of us should think about. They said, nothing will rectify the end of this ummah except what rectified it in the beginning. Such a simple statement. Nothing will bring rectification at the end except what brought it in the beginning. What brought the rectification in the beginning? The Tawheed of Allah, the Quran and the Sunnah. Calling people to the Tawheed of Allah Ta'ala. So simple. SubhanAllah. That is what brought the people before Islam, who were shepherds and herders of camels, made them into leaders of the earth. The Tawheed of Allah, the Quran and the Sunnah. That's all that we need today. We don't need anything new, any new ideology, new ism. We don't need a new philosophy or a new ism to rectify our affairs. All we need is to go back to what the early part of the Ummah did, which was to abide by the laws of the Quran and the Sunnah. Anybody who uses another means is in manifest error. And the way that we call people to the Quran and the Sunnah is by explaining the laws of the Quran and Sunnah, explaining the fiqh, spreading the rulings so people get a deep understanding of the Quran and the Sunnah. This is how we can call to them. And then the Shaykh, he says, every innovation is a misguidance. Anybody who comes up with a new way of worship, a new way of dawah that was not taught by their predecessors, it will go astray. You have many different sects nowadays. Different. Every sect has a leader. He claims to be a prophet. He claims to be the Messiah. He claims to be the Mahdi. And they bring innovations in the religion. All of them will go astray. The only one that will remain on the correct path are those who adhere to the correct aqidah, the speech and the actions of the Prophet ﷺ. That's the saved sect. So anything that contradicts Islam must be rejected. Somebody wants to give dawah, he should adhere to the principles of Islam. Somebody says, I'm going to give dawah, I'm going to go and be alone with a woman and give dawah to her. So he's giving dawah in a way that contradicts the laws of Islam. He says, I want to give dawah, and he takes some means that are innovations in religion. I'm going to go to the church and sit in the church with them, so when they see me attending church, they'll come to my mosque. So I'll give some time for them, they give some time for me. It's an innovation. This is not following the commandments of Islam. The way to call to Islam is by following the way of the pious predecessors. Calling, what is the thing that we start with when we want to call people to Islam? What do we start with? Let's get participation from other brothers, inshallah. What do we start with? When you go to people, you want to give dawah, right? This is now we know the reward for giving dawah. We know the obligation of giving dawah in this time. What do we start with?
Concept of Allah.
That's right. The Tawheed of Allah Ta'ala. What does it mean, Tawheed of Allah? It means we were not created except to worship Allah. وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسِ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. All of us, we have to understand this statement. Allah says, we did not create jinn nor mankind except to worship me. That is the foundation of Tawheed. That is the purpose for this whole universe. This is what we have to work on explaining to people. Explaining it day and night in articles and the television. In any way we can explain it to the people, we have to explain it. Telling people privately, in public, telling children, adults, we have to emphasize this point, that Allah has only created us to worship Him. This is what Tawheed means. This is the foundation of Islam. Bringing people out of worship of the creation to worship of the Creator. This is what we have to focus on and concentrate on and say it as much as we can until every level of society understands that this is the purpose for human existence. This is what the first thing the Prophet ﷺ taught people. Sincerity to Allah. Having ikhlas to Allah and worshipping Him alone. When we look at the Prophet ﷺ in Mecca, how long did he spend in Mecca?
13 years,
right? In Mecca. When did Salah become obligatory? Was it the first year?
No.
Second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth. Scholars say it wasn't until 10 years after the beginning of Islam, almost to the time of Hijrah, when he went to Mi'raj. So 10 years he called people. Did he oblige them to do Salah? Did Allah oblige them to make Salah? No. What was he teaching them those 10 years? Tawheed of Allah. That's right. That's what they were needed to learn, because they were in ignorance of Tawheed. And now today in many Muslim countries we have people who call on people in the graves, on the awliya, on the saints. They bring food to them, they sacrifice animals to them, they write notes to them, they seek intermediation between them and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Very common. Very common in every country in the Muslim world, in almost every country in the Muslim world, to the exclusion of very few places. People, they go to the graves and they call on the saints, seeking help from them, sacrificing animals to them. Another form of shirk that's widespread throughout the ummah is ruling by the man-made laws. Widespread. Almost all the Muslim countries, they don't rule by the sharia of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What do we do after we call people to the tawheed of Allah? Do we stop? The dawah should encompass all of the deen of Islam. We have certain priorities we begin with, but we should make the call, the dawah, complete. The dawah should be complete. Udu'u ila sabili rabbika. Here the scholars say sabili rabbika means the whole deen of Islam. So we have to call people to the correct aqidah, but then after that we have to teach them to believe in the day of judgment, to believe in having how to make tahara, how to make salah, how to give zakat, how to have good manners, how to have good akhlaq. We don't ignore any of these things. These are all part of giving da'wah. These are all parts of how we give da'wah to Allah. And we should do this together. Invite people to come together in a brotherhood. That's part of our da'wah. For people to be together as Muslims, to unite around the knowledge and the obedience of Islam. See, giving da'wah should be a process that brings people together in the obedience of Allah Ta'ala. See, when people, they learn to obey Allah Ta'ala, does it separate them or bring them together?
Good.
Look at the example of Mecca before Islam and after Islam. Before Islam, every tribe was in competition with the other. They were killing each other. In Medina, you had the Aus and the Khazraj. They had wars against each other for generations. But then the Islam, it brought all of them together, all of Arabia, and then all of the world at that time under the rule of Islam. It brought unity to them when they followed, when they obeyed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We should also teach people about trustworthiness, respect for the elders. And an important point here, all of us, I hope we understand this. Allah says, "Udu'u ila sabili rabbika." Call to the way of your Lord. He didn't say, call to this madhab. He didn't say, call to your sheikh, or your madhab, or your nationality, or call to this particular viewpoint. He said, call to the deen of Allah. So whenever we give dawah, we don't give dawah to a specific group or a specific person. Right? You have certain sects, they say, they call people, they say, come and join our sect. Join our particular sect. No, we call people to follow, submit to Islam, that's it. We don't call them to follow a particular sheikh or a particular madhab. This is not our duty. That is, when we call to Allah, we call to His deen. Okay, a couple more points here, inshallah ta'ala. Inshallah. One of the points, very important points for us to realize and recognize the reason for the weakness of Muslims today. The reason for the weakness of Muslims is because they've abandoned the deen of Allah Ta'ala. Allah says, we do not change the condition of a people until they change themselves. So when people abandon the laws of Allah, He changed their condition to the worse. And when they go back to the deen of Allah, Allah will bring them back to their condition. I remember one of the shiuch in Syria, he mentioned a story about Algeria. He said that when the French had conquered Algeria, one of the French generals, he stood up and he addressed the Algerian people. They were Muslim, of course. He was non-Muslim. He said, look at us. Your Quran, it says that وَلَنْ يَجْعَلَ اللَّهُ لِلْكَافِرِينَ عَلَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ سَبِيلًا. Allah will not give the disbelievers over the believers any way, any dominance. But look at us, we occupied your country, we control your country. So then one of the old people in the audience, he stood up and he said, that's right. That's right. Allah said He will not give the disbelievers over the mu'mineen, the believers, sabil. And we have become negligent in our deen. We are no longer mu'mineen truly. Mu'min means adhering to the deen of Allah. So he said, we have become negligent in our deen, and Allah has sent you to us to bring us back to our deen. Subhanallah. See, Allah didn't say muslimin. وَلَنْ يَجْعَلَ اللَّهُ لِلْكَافِرِينَ عَلَى الْمُسْلِمِينَ سَبِيلًا. He said, mu'mineen. Did we fulfill the iman? So this old man, he realized. He said, you have been sent to us by Allah to bring us back to our deen. Subhanallah. The dawah is obligatory. Who was it obligatory upon? Only the scholars? Who has to give dawah?
Everybody.
Every person. The Prophet ﷺ said, بَلِّغُوا عَنِّي وَلَوْ آيَةٌ. Spread or teach the religion from me, even if it's one ayah. Even a single ayah. بَلِّغُوا, command, عَنِّي, from not anything, but the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ, وَلَوْ آيَةٌ, even if it's a little bit, even if it's some small part. Some of the ulama, they said, بَلِّغُ is a takleef. عَنِّي is tashreef, وَلَوْ آيَةٌ is takhfeef. What does that mean? بَلِّغُ is a command. عَنِّي is tashreef, the honor of who are we calling to? The deen of Allah. وَلَوْ آيَةٌ takhfeef. You don't have to know the whole deen, but whatever you know. The Prophet ﷺ said, the one who was present, let him convey to the one who was absent. Because the absent one may understand it better than the one who was present. So somebody, walaikum salam, somebody may spread the message of Islam and he understood it somewhat. The one who he teaches it to, he understands it better than him. So every person, they should convey the message to whomever they can. the rulers, the scholars, the traders, the businessmen, everyone has an obligation to spread it using the different languages of Islam. The dawah depends on different societies. Different societies, they have different types of dawah. If you live in a society where Islam is oppressed and you cannot give dawah openly, then the scholars say we give dawah through our akhlaq, through our character, through our interactions, mu'amalat with people. If we live in a society where dawah is permissible, a non-Muslim society, then we gather together and we call people to Allah as best as we can. If we live in a Muslim society, then we should be even more strong in commanding good and forbidding evil. We should communicate with the officials and the authorities and have them establish the deen of Allah and stop any deviation and those who oppose Islam. How do we give dawah to a person who believes in Islam but he's negligent in his deen? How do we give dawah to them? The scholars say we give dawah to people in different ways. Somebody who is a Muslim but he's negligent is different than a kafir. Somebody who knows is different than somebody who doesn't know. We don't give dawah to all these different people in the same way. We should understand their background when we give them dawah. So if somebody is good but they're somewhat negligent, we try to remind them about the obligations of Allah. Somebody who's distant from the truth, he's a Muslim but he's distant in a way from the truth, we try to use what they call targhib and tarheeb, hope and fear. We tell them, do you know, if you do this, if you pray, you'll get this great reward in Jannah. That doesn't work. You know, if you don't do your salah, you'll be punished in the hellfire. Right? You use targhib and tarheeb to try to bring the person to follow the deen of Allah. Somebody who has doubts about Islam, how do we deal with them? In a gentle way. The scholars, they say, be more gentle and more patient and explain to them the truth about Islam until the roots of that doubt go away from them. In all cases, we have to be gentle with people. And it's a grave mistake to be harsh with people when speaking about the deen of Islam. It's a grave mistake and an error. It's considered speaking without knowledge. When somebody, they speak harshly to somebody who has a doubt about Islam, maybe his doubt is due to his culture and his background. So if we don't understand his culture and his background, and we try to make him understand some ruling in Islam, then we might cause him to go further astray. So a person, they have to understand the culture, the background of people when they give them dawah to Islam. The fourth category of people, how do we give dawah to the officials and the rulers? How do we give dawah to the rulers, the kings and the senators and presidents? In a gentle way. In a gentle way. In fact, they should be called with very good manners and good writing. The Prophet ﷺ, he wrote letters to the kings and the rulers in a very good way. And even when Musa went to Fir'aun, what did Allah say to him? قُولَا لَهُ قَوْلًا لَيِّنٍ. This is one of the most important aspects of da'wah. That when Musa went to Fir'aun, Allah told him, to Musa and Harun, say a gentle word to him, that in order that he might remember. And as they say, you are not more guided than Musa, and the person you're calling is not more misguided than Fir'aun. So if Allah told Musa to be layin with Fir'aun, then how should we be? We should have the lean, the gentleness, and the kindness and good manners. Finally, the last category, inshallah, we'll finish with this, is how do we call the disbelievers to give dawah to them? The scholars say we remind them of the purpose of their existence. When we give dawah to non-Muslims, remind them, the reason we're in this world is to worship Allah. وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. Emphasize that point, to get them to realize the tawheed of Allah. That's the starting point for them, inshaAllah ta'ala. So these are some, inshaAllah, words of advice for us, inshaAllah, on how to give dawah Inshallah ta'ala, may Allah help us to hear the words of admonition and follow the best of them. Is there any questions, inshallah ta'ala? We have more to complete on this, inshallah, maybe in the future, about the qualities of a da'i, and what is hikmah, and how to use hikmah in da'wah, inshallah, we'll talk about next time, inshallah. Yes, brother Afsa, go ahead, brother Afsa.
What's the
rule of the music? Using music to give da'wah is not permissible.
No, just like,
yes, okay, I'm glad you brought that up. Music in general, of course, you know, is not allowed in Islam. Yes, brother. So using music is forbidden in Islam as a ruling, and any musical instruments, the Prophet ﷺ said there will come a time when people will permit musical instruments and silk and alcohol and zina. It's in Bukhari. So music is haram, and using it for da'wah is still haram, but still the scholars, they say that it's not correct to use music to give da'wah, inshallah ta'ala. Any other questions? Yes, we'll talk about that next time, about having patience and wisdom. Yeah, but you should always keep patient. The main thing is for a da'i to be sincere, to be humble, to be patient, and to have wisdom and not to give up, inshallah. May Allah make all of us da'is, inshallah, to his deen.
I have a question.
Yeah.
Like if you call somebody for one good deed, and then he follows all his life, so you get the ajr for whole the life.
That's right. That's absolutely
until
right.
Until he does that good deed.
And anybody.
If he calls somebody, it's like a.
That's absolutely right, brother.
Adding up, subhanAllah.
That's why the ilm is so much greater than the ibadah. Somebody to spread the ilm keeps multiplying for many, many generations.
So
exponential.
Living here is more chances to earn more and more.
It's a very big, very big opportunity for us.
Huh?
Yes, mashallah. See, you pray your whole life, you get written down one prayer. But if you teach people how to pray, all of that ilm until the day of judgment will come on your account.
Sure.
See? So spreading ilm has a very high reward, inshallah ta'ala. So may Allah make all of us, inshallah, keys to goodness and locks to evil. Spread goodness through us, inshaAllah, and may Allah reward you.
Jazakum
Allah khairan. Wa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Muhammad wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. Walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.